So I was thinking, with our current fears of the loss of jobs due to the increases in technology and uses of robots in factories and machine intelligence and all these sorts of things. I mean, it's not far-fetched that sometime in the near future, whether it's 50 years, 100 years, 200 years from now, that our economy can run pretty much 100% and generate all the things that we need without people actually having to contribute to it, or at least without most of the population contributing in any way. And so that's going to bring up some issues in terms of our social structure, our economy, all sorts of things. It'll talk about, you know, distribution of wealth and how that would play out. But I'm more interested in, I think, the sociological effect of, suppose we do set it up in such a way that basically people don't need to work because we all have the machines and the robots that are going to provide everything for us. What would this do to us as people? Would we not, like, we'd have so much free time. Would we be able to manage this and handle it in a responsible way?
We'd be really fat. Just fat people. Fatter.
I mean, we're already fat.
Fatter. Well, I mean, is this conceivable? Like, do you think that people would, well, first off, people would never allow themselves to not have jobs, right? I mean, I think that's the case. That they're always, like, if you have an entirely robotic manufacturing structure, then people are required to build and repair robots.
But why would they be? Why couldn't we have robots? Well, I mean, with
robots that build and repair robots? It's insane.
What? Why not?
No, you're right.
Well, I mean, you already see, like, effectively what happened here with the agricultural revolution, and that you used to have, well, like 70% of the population, and even before that, 100%, working on farms. And now it's like 2% of the population that works on farms.
And we're already seeing in manufacturing, the percentage of human labor required is dropping drastically. And eventually it will be, you know, much smaller than it is now, probably. But the thing that's more troubling to us, you know, intelligentsia types, is that artificial intelligence and machine learning is also increasing very quickly. And at some point, they're going to, you know, machines are going to more or less be able to do everything that we could do with our brains anyway. So then that makes us obsolete too.
Yeah, you make it sound like we're headed towards the Matrix, like we're actually headed towards.
Well, I'm not saying that the robots are going to
robot revolution
wage war against us, but they could definitely make it such that we are not required in the global economy, at least.
I mean, to me, I think that the thing that is more likely to happen, or at least will happen first, is that because the robots are making everything, everything is going to be so cheap that you can work at McDonald's as a cashier and afford to live
easily. Why would McDonald's want to hire you?
Because are you saying that robots would fill even those types of positions, serving you? The restaurants would be fully automated. You wouldn't need cooks and people to cash you out. And it would all be like, you know, serving you the food, robot hands and conveyor belts and that sort of thing. Like you're picturing every job becoming robotic.
I mean, I think McDonald's could be completely roboticized if people were willing to not see a human face in the next 20
But is that years. Is that the key to this? And this is why it will never happen, because the human, like, warmth is necessary for jobs. Like, you need a human quality to be able to do some things that no one would ever attend a restaurant that's fully automated.
Patches, when was the last time you went to the bank to withdraw money versus going to the ATM?
That's true. And now the checks don't even need envelopes. I don't need to hand them checks anymore.
I mean, we clearly don't need that human interaction at our bank. Why would we need it at a restaurant?
Because entrepreneurship still requires, like, a human brain, because not every decision can be made
by
calculations.
I'm saying that suppose we have AI that can make these decisions for us, and I don't think that's too far down the line even.
But, well, and then you also have, I mean, okay, even if you have to keep the entrepreneurs around, that's still a very small percentage of the population.
It's a very small percentage. I'm not saying that completely that humans are going to have no role in the global economy. I'm going to say that most human, like, there's no reason for, say we have a population of 7 billion, maybe we need a million people to work.
Right. But with that fuel like an intellectual renaissance. I guess there's two options. One, everyone gets dumber and no one does anything, and we kind of self-destruct as we allow robots to take over all the simple jobs in the world. Or it could fuel – I mean, how we operate, how we work, how we think could evolve, because we don't need to spend our jobs doing little things and things that could be taken over by robots, then we can – elevate ourselves as a human race. We can have that renaissance where people go off and make art or come up with new ideas and create new jobs that don't even exist right now. New stuff.
Is that, you think that's – okay. I mean, that's possible.
I don't know. I mean
– But I just think that varies people to people. And some people, you know, they definitely feel they need something to do, right? And some people are content without having something to do. My question is, are the people who don't have anything to do but really feel they need to be doing something, are they going to be doing stuff that's constructive, or are they going to be doing stuff that's destructive? Like
stealing? Fraud?
Waging war?
Just out of boredom.
Wow. Do you think that the human mind is capable of steering itself so wrong in the wake of boredom?
Yeah, absolutely I do.
Do you have an example of a small scale version of this? Like, I don't think we've seen anyone just wage war out of boredom.
Maybe not boredom, but I think a large percentage of wars that have been waged by monarchs are waged not because they want to gain anything out of the war, but because it makes them feel more important that they're when they wage a war. And it's probably true with politicians and presidents as well, but the fact of the matter, I think this is a pretty common thing that's done now.
I'm too much of an idealist. Like, I'm blind to the horrors of humanity. I would love to see everyone starts reading and writing books in the wake of a robotic revolution. You see it as like we're just going to destroy each other. We have a lot to look forward to. But would we ever allow ourselves to get to this point? Yes, we put robots in the places where men used to work at factories. We've already done that. Would we ever allow ourselves to have robots take over all those positions? Or do you think someone needs to step in and put an end to that before we even encounter this problem? Is that possible?
Well, I guess for me, the issue is as a as a larger society, like right now in capitalism, you know, the rewards are going to flow to whatever remaining humans are there adding value. You know, so if you have a job that the robots can't do, then you're going to get a lot more money for that job.
Underwater basket weaving is finally – that major is finally going to work it to my favor.
I think so. I don't know.
What basket weave underwater better than you?
Perhaps. Well, they'll rust. The robots rust underwater. Little do you realize.
That's what our submarines do, right? They rust.
That's what the robots tell me.
So we'd have to be comfortable with some form, I mean, a more significant form of wealth redistribution. I mean, and you already see some of that now in that, you know, there's, you know, it's the 53% or the 47%, you know, that of the population that is consuming more than they're actually outputting into society.
Right. Wow. So the struggle of the 99% is actually in anticipation of the robot revolution in some ways. It's like we need to change the way people make money or the amount of money they make in certain jobs, or the robots win.
That's not the robots win. It's that
you know the robots are going to win.
Well, I mean, we have our heads in the sand over that one, but the issue is more that if capitalism extends to its, you know, final, like, unchecked with technological advancement, whoever owns the capital is basically you have capital and you have labor. And those have traditionally kind of balanced each other out in like classical economics. But if robots are the labor and robots are generated by capital, like basically if you have capital, you also have labor.
Hmm.
So then whoever has capital basically has everything. And that's a little troubling.
So one person will basically rule the world.
Well, I don't know if it makes it one person. I mean, it's
one person, but definitely
one entity.
Consolidated.
Yeah.
Fewer people.
It makes it very, very easy. I mean, and we're already seeing it now, I think, in society, where it's becoming a more stratified society. And I think it's mm-hmm. because you have a smaller amount of people that are just adding a ton more value, either through their skills or through the fact that they own the capital right now. We can deploy it efficiently.
This is reminding me of a movie I recently saw when I was at the Sundance Film Festival. It was a documentary called Google and the World Brain. And it took some sci-fi theories and kind of ran with them while analyzing Google and how they are basically creating robots to or artificial intelligence to run the search engine, but by like absorbing every book in the world, because they have this whole book scanning program and Google Books, you know, very popular. You can read most anything, and they're going through all the libraries, scanning books. But this movie kind of points to them and says this is kind of devious behavior because they want to be the one center of knowledge. And yes, we can have artificial intelligence do everything for us, but then because we go to them for everything, they're in control of everything. And that reminds me of what you were just saying, Rajan, that, you know, once you have one place that can do it all because they have robotic labor or because they have artificial intelligence that can answer every question, you're kind of subservient to them in some way. So what do you need? Are you going to be doing anything with your job? No, but will you kind of waste away as a slave to this corporation? Maybe.
Well, I think it really depends on, I think Pfister alluded to this earlier, to how we're dealing with wealth redistribution, to what extent we're going to have that. And also, to some extent, it depends on our system of government. I think that if you have a democratically elected government, it's harder to, I mean, obviously, with money, you can influence things and bribe politicians and whatever. But in
you
terms
can
of,
do that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, and whatever. We're not. But in terms of actually electing people, you need a broad base of people to elect you, and so that is at least some sort of check. You know, some power that you have by being a person, rather than being a person who has lots of capital. But that's not necessarily, you know, so I think that's what, if we have a society where we accept that some level of wealth distribution is, important and that becomes kind of more normalized than I think it is now, then we could probably get past a lot of that, the issues of having everything being concentrated in the hands of you're right. A very small minority.
Let me ask you something. Bringing it back down to me as an individual, is this something that people should be considering in your mind? Like, do you actively think about what your role will be when robots can fill almost every job? Do you have that thought? That sounds haunting.
It's not something that I think about on a regular basis, no. Because it's not probably something that's going to happen in our lifetimes, and probably not our children's lifetimes.
I mean, but really though, it doesn't seem that far-fetched in like the next 50 years to have robots fill almost every job. I mean, like you said, we're already seeing that all over the place. I'm just wondering if I need to have a strategy here.
I think you're well positioned.
Yeah, you are, because you're a writer, right? That's something that
in quotes.
It's hard for computers to do. It's hard for – computers are not good at
but are you sure repeating about that? Because I look at something like Wilson, the Jeopardy-playing computer, and I'm like,
Watson.
Am I smarter than that thing?
That's not – but that's just knowledge. That's information. And but in terms of actual – like writing generally, in good writing at least, is it connects with with the humanity of people, with their emotions, with their with the way that they feel about things. And that's something that computers are not very good at right now. And I don't know how long it'll be before they become good at that. So, I mean, writing, good writing, I think, is something that, as long as we have people who want to read, that we'll have...
Well, I think that's the key. I mean, there's a lot of people who might prefer just skimming a Wikipedia page than trying to get facts written out by a human being. And a computer could construct a Wikipedia page, I think. I mean, I believe Wilson is... His whole brain is based on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I mean, so Wikipedia is something that could be created by an artificial mind, I think. I think entertainment is more likely to be human for longer, because I don't think...
I don't know. I feel like entertainment is mostly robotic. I don't know if you've watched television recently.
I think it's just going to be so cheap to get all your material goods that people are going to be willing to pay a lot more comparatively for any kind of good entertainment.
But that's... I mean, we can't rely on entertainment to... continue society in a lucrative way, right? Yeah, I mean, that can't be the only job that people fill, because I would venture to guess that 80% of the people in the U.S. don't consider themselves entertainers or entertaining.
Yeah.
They want that, but they can't provide that for people.
Yeah, we can't all be in the entertainment business, because if you think about it, you look at a stage, you got one person up there and you have, like, at least, 10 people watching, like, that's the sort of proportions we're looking at entertainment. That's not sustainable. There needs to be other things. But that's my worry, that eventually there won't be jobs for everybody that will be worthwhile, that'll actually accomplish things.
So if you lost your job to a robot, what would you end up doing, do you think, as a person?
I don't know. It depends on...
You'd have free time. What would you do? Well, I guess you would need...
It's already happening, though.
Right.
With people that lost their job to manufacturing.
Yeah. So the question is, what are you going to do next? It depends on whether somebody is paying for your food and your housing,
right,
or whether they're not,
You could hunt for treasure. That seems like a very...
If they're not, then you're going to be angry and you're going to be disaffected and whatever. And you might... attempt to, foment rebellion or whatever, to whatever degree of success that you could have against...
You keep gravitating towards rebellion, and it's starting to freak me out.
If you feel that you've been hard done by, you lost your job, and you don't have enough money to feed your family, then something, you're going to be upset.
I believe that is, in quotes, going postal. I think that's what you're describing here. I'm scared for society that we seem like so violent, and we can't. I mean, and this is the case. You watch people protest and be anxious to have the government pay attention to the people who lose their jobs, and to have some sort of new distribution, and the people who... the people in the government aren't paying attention. And then there are a lot of people who are cynical about it. There are a lot of young people who have jobs, and so they kind of look down at the people who want – a lot of people don't take 99% and that sort of thing seriously. And that I don't think they realize that fight, that struggle, seems amorphous until you probably lose your job, or until you take what we're talking about here into consideration, that there's a future where – most people don't have jobs, and it's not that far away. Maybe not in our lifetime, but it doesn't seem that far away to me to be in a position where we probably should have been aligning ourselves to figure this thing out way in advance. I'm always in awe of futurists who consider this kind of stuff, and I guess great sci-fi writers are people like that. You mentioned Asimov. As someone that you read and that you consider, and those people look ahead and they figure out those problems in advance, but we don't take them very seriously because they're entertainment. But I do think that this is the sort of problem that a futurist has insight into, and everyone just thinks that guy is crazy. and that the 99% might protest, but everyone just thinks they're crazy for thinking that.
Yeah. I mean, there are issues there that need to be kind of thought about, and the fact of the matter is we've lost a lot of jobs due to various things, and a lot of those jobs aren't coming back because you don't need to employ 1,000 people in your factory anymore. You can employ 10. So those jobs aren't coming back. So you need to, these people need to have new jobs. And the right. question is, what are they going to do? What jobs can they do?
Or maybe we could
to produce value that people will want to pay them for. And do these jobs exist? And will these jobs always exist? And that's the worry.
Maybe we could just stop using robots. Like, the three of us could stop using robots.
We're using a lot of robots.
I mean,
podcast.
And they get cheap. I mean, they robots raise our standard of living.
Yeah.
But in not an entirely positive way, would you say?
Well, I mean, the only downside here, and it's arguable if the downside, is that somebody that used to have to do it, used to have to make something, no longer has to make it. The robot makes it instead. And so that person doesn't have that thing that they do. So then the question is, do you just subsidize that person?
Ryan, are you going to rebel against humanity when you've lost your job to robots?
No, my plan is to bank enough money while I still have the job so that I can then just buy robots to work for me.
Hobobox. You don't need robots. You just need food and a car.
Right.
And you can survive.
Yeah, but a car's a robot.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah, in the future it definitely is. Well, it already is. It tells you how to get places. Yeah. It does things for you. So I guess my thinking now is I have too many robots in my life, and there's really no way to give up on them. And I'm probably going to lead a revolution against Rajan in some territory of post-apocalyptic United States, and we'll be fighting to the death.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Don't come for my robots. No robot grabs.
You're going to store all that money and buy all those robots, and I'm going to come steal the robots.
I'll better buy some war robots.
Yeah. See, I'm only going to buy war robots.
You gotta prepare.
He's got me.
Aren't drones, isn't that what I mean, we already have war robots, right? But, like, you want serious claw robots with missiles that fire out and, like, laser eyes, right?
Yep.
Good.
Laser eyes.
Laser eyes. The future.
I'm going to buy walls.
That really made me just feel awful. So that's good.
You're welcome.
That usually happens like in the middle of the podcast.